Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 185 of the Ant King Frequency. How are you going, Larry?
I'm not too bad. A little frustrated. I've been working on projects and then having to get like 8 pages in and then realize I lost the interest in the story. I shared something with someone. It's like, hey, what you working on? I was like, I really shouldn't. I was like, oh, fine. I shared page. And then after that, I was like, I wish I hadn't, because now it's like, hey, what happened to that book? Yeah, I gave up on it. I put it away. It's like back. It's like I boxed it up, put it in a warehouse with top men. I hate when that happens, but I want to actually love what I do and not be like forced to do something as far as like creativity goes, because if your heart ain't in it, you can make the body work. Wow, this sounds very no intention to make it sound have sexual overtones. Top men make your body work, put the heart into it. I'll just say this, I've been wanting to work on a story. Technically I have multiple stories, but they have not come to completion. All right, enough about me. How about you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm happy just watching you dig a hole for yourself and
the letting shock on your face,
letting Sigmund Freud just comment from the grave. I'm okay. I'm okay. Are you ready to dive headlong into the topic?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I just before we go further, today's topic covers a very sensitive issue, something we've maybe joked a little bit about in the past with a few other matters like guns and stuff. But I just wanted to, put out there that this is a sensitive matter. If anyone out there is suffering from depression or any other kind of anxieties that make the prospect of continuing with existence a challenge, in all seriousness, you might want to reconsider listening to this episode. Because Larry King, today I wanted to ask you, in I guess the most out of the blue way possible, what's the deal with suicide?
The Ant King of Frequency.
Well, on the next family-friendly episode.
No, well, I bring this up because it seems to be high-profile suicides kind of getting on the rise again. I mean, Anthony Bourdain is still spoken about. I don't know why a celebrity chef doing in with himself has such resonance when so many other people do it and it sort of gets hushed. And I think he got more attention killing himself than Philip Seymour Hoffman did. I don't know.
This is gonna make me sound okay. Well, first off, to make it about myself for a tiny bit, I've never thought about suicide. I've thought about if I had terminal illness, I'd probably get as much drugs as possible and I'd go out in a blaze of glory. I joked around at one time of like, I want to see what's the Area 51, so I'll just drive through the gates and they'll have to kill me and that kind of thing.
I don't think you'd get far, yeah.
I don't think I get if I get like 5 feet riddle machine gun, yeah, or worse, just lock me up and put me in. But I'm dying. So you have to go die someplace else.
Anything that could hold the Hulk and the X-Men.
Well, that was New Mexico, not Nevada.
Oh, was
that
it? Hulkbuster. I thought the
decommissioned Hulkbuster base. Yeah. I'm currently reading X-Men Trial of Gambit, which actually has the Hulkbuster base that Zero Tolerance and Bastion are using, not the Bastion from Overwatch, but Bastion, the Nimrod Sentinel / Master Mold Sentinel combined into one organic, techno-organic body. It's confusing. It's X-Men, folks. But I've never thought about it, but I've known people who have contemplated it and threatened it, and I used to be much more sensitive, but I've become because of people abusing the, like, hey I'll help you out. It's like, you need to talk about it. You know, I got to the point, and this may sound so heartless, but there was one person in particular. I said, hey, if you ever feeling, you know, suicidal, severely depressed, like the suicidal tendencies, just call me anytime. And they were constantly calling me, and I got to the point of, if you're gonna do it, do it. And that makes me a heartless son of a bitch, but I got to the point where it's like, it's either, you know, shit or get off the pot. And as horrible as that sounds, it's like, there are some things, and they were on chemicals, they were on drugs to keep them supposedly, you know, balanced.
Yeah.
There was chemical imbalances, but there was also, it was also emotional too. It wasn't just the chemicals, it was also memories and thoughts and these kind of things. It isn't just the chemicals alone, it's physical stuff too, like in the real world. So if it was like, hey, everything's nice and happy and fine, and then this happens, it was multiple factors. And I went from being like trying to be a Mr. Understanding, oh, thank you, to being kind of heartless in that regard. And so I might not be the best person when it comes to that. So
yeah,
just to give you a kind of rundown.
Well, I think one of the things about Bourdain was that it was a deliberate attempt to kill himself, and it worked. He hung himself, didn't he?
I thought that was Robin Williams that did the. I know that, okay, Robin Williams, I was a hanging. I think Anthony Bourdain was a hanging as well. Seymour Hoffman, that was an overdose.
He got some. Now, I think that's why sometimes it gets a little mired in confusion and kind of gets swept under the rug when they can't be clear on whether it was a deliberate or accidental overdose.
Well, I think it was accident. Well, he apparently,
Heath Ledger, for instance, was accidental.
Yeah, while at one of the Olsons, yeah, that was not, yeah. So yeah, it's, I'm trying to think of some kind of Full House kind of reference or something. No, Michelle,
probably. Listen, I'm not going to be going for many yucks this episode.
I know. This is how I deal with darkness. But
I know, and you know I do too. But I'm only putting it out there because there might be people out there who do have comments about it. I've never thought proactively about suicide myself, but I do understand its appeal and its strength.
Well, see, me, like, I, when it comes to, like, somebody like Anthony Bourdain, where he was a heroin junkie for many years of his life. I mean, you don't just one day, this isn't like, oh, what's this new thing? Oh, it's heroin? Okay, I'll tell you. How many people have died of heroin? All my heroes are junkies, and these ideas, like these people that have the ideas, like, yeah, and they ended up dead way before their time. And Bourdain, you know, didn't live a long, long life, but he lived long enough. I mean, the guy wasn't no like spring chicken, but you got to have demons to seek out heroin. You don't accidentally fall into taking heroin. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to put this needle in my vein. And,
yeah, you don't,
that kind of stuff, it doesn't happen.
Just trip in the street and wake up a heroin addict.
Exactly. You have to have some demons. And but with people like, when it comes to, I mean, I know it ain't really the same thing. Maybe we'll touch upon this in a later part, but I'm all for euthanasia. I'm all for people choosing to, like, if you're in, so much pain, like, you want to choose your own way out, you should be able to. You're a grown adult. You should, you're able to choose, bringing life into the world. You should be able to choose which way you want to go out. And there are people like, oh, that's a mortal sin. Like, if you're in constant pain, if you are, your life is very, I'm talking like where your body's eat up with, whether it be cancer or just, you're, I mean, we're not talking, you know, oh, you just turned 18. Now you want to kill yourself because, you know, it's your legal right. It's like, you know, that, right. That's where it gets like that kind of, it gets where you're chemically imbalanced. You don't want to take the pills, but you want to, you know, that's where it gets weird, but it's where still technically it is suicide. It's still, even though it's, you know, for medical reasons, you want to just go ahead and, you know, go out your own way, but
you want to take control of your ending. And I think that resonates beyond euthanasia to normal suicide. For many people, it is taking control of an absolutely lost direction or heading in life.
No. I think that's a common, because we got to think when these, even when these, you know, bigger names, these higher profile names, and to, you know, when they end up killing themselves, it doesn't, you got to think, well, they had so much going on, why would they do that? But when you're a big name, like let's say you are a musician, you have a contract with a company, more than likely unfair, because we've heard how many behind the musics and what have you, where the contracts with these record companies, any kind of, you are property of these companies for many years to come. You got to produce this many albums, and even then they own all the, you know, they own these rights and that, so you really are not your own person. You have to go and do this interview, you have to go and do this talk show, you have to go and do this tour to make this money. If you don't, you're in, you know, breach of contract, and, you know, they'll take what money you have, or, you know, put you in hock. And so you have, like, for all, you have all this power, you have all this fame, but it's all manufactured. It's at the hands of the record companies, which can push artists, you know, push their name, push their brand. So you have, like, very little control in your life. And so you turn to narcotics, you turn to drink, and to self-medication, and then, you know, well, hell, professional medication. And sometimes that just isn't enough. And then you're like, well, I'm going to take control over something. So they take themselves out.
All right, I'm going to give you some names.
All right.
Robert Johnson, Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison. Who else is there? There's a ton. I'm just picking at the big ones we all know. Kurt Cobain.
That one gets a little, because that photo I saw where he still has his shoes on. And I got proven on that episode many while back that
Amy Winehouse. To do that,
oh yeah, definitely. Oof.
Anton Yelchin. Well, that's not suicide.
That was accidental.
The coroner's report said accidental blunt trauma asphyxia. Mind you, he was a guitarist for a band called the Hammerheads.
Well, it still sucks, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah.
But yeah, I'm reading out, of course, the list of some of the members from the 27 Club. I'm sure you've heard about that.
That number, yeah, that's just so weird. It's like I think some of them. Part of me, like, I'm not saying all of them, but I'd say a small portion, maybe just a few, actually wanted to join that. So intentionally, you know, they intentionally. Yeah, but chose life choices that lead them to that path.
Anyway, but yeah, the big names of the idea of the 27 Club were, yeah, Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Jim Morrison. Later added to by Kurt Cobain, that really it became fashionable. I mean, now looking at the facts, there were several others I thought were part of the 27 Club that now most definitely don't seem to be. Of age, like Nick Drake, or there were one or two other people that Elliot Smith, that people said were part of the 27 Club, but clearly weren't. Scientific studies, for instance, conclude there's no increased risk of death for musicians at the age of 27, although the sampled musicians face an increased risk of death in their 20s and 30s. This was not limited to the age of 27. An article in The Independent also proves statistical evidence that popular musicians are not more likely to die at the age of 27. So the matter, of course, is suicide, though, or is what's listed on a couple of these people's coroner's reports, death by misadventure. Look, I don't know. We all know the song. I mean, it's a killer one. Suicide is painless. Is that more a reference to the release from pain that suicide gives?
And then I honestly think yes. Sorry to cut you off, but yes, it is. It's like there's like people that existence is like you're like existence is pain, suffering. In many ways, it is. Like you are dealing with when you come into this world, you're crying because you're experiencing. You're going from an environment you were born into to an alien world full of disease and horror and monsters and real monsters. Like when you think about it, we are all aliens. I'm not trying to get too like trippy here, but we're all born into this world. We're alien explorers. We were born in a world of the organic. We were created in the world of the organic, and a world of darkness and a world of a constant rhythm of heartbeat, nutrient supply. A pretty chill place, and then we're ripped into this world. Our nutrient supply is cut off. We have no ability to move around in this world, not for a while, until our bones grow that we can't even have. And we have to adapt to this world. And for some people, where you find like, this person's so much talent, and maybe the reason they're so talented because they're being abused at home, and like, I will got to do something to get out of here. I got to practice. I got to whether play music. They ended up, getting into music because they were running away from home and hanging around some people that, had a guitar or something, that kind of thing. Yeah. And stuff happens. I mean, it isn't like extremely common, but it's common enough to be like, one of those little tropes or whatever, like real life things that happen. And in life, I mean, it's for many, it is constant pain and suffering, and or they don't want to inflict that upon others. Like they feel like their life is a burden, and it's to see some people, it's harder to see other people in pain. And it's like if they're hurting them, they see themselves hurting someone else emotionally, or well, hopefully not physically, but even emotionally, they figure, well, it's better for me to just check out. And that is extremely unfortunate that people are like that, but that's the way the world is. That's the way I think it's been for a long time. It's just like for the longest time, people wouldn't talk about it. It's like, this person died cleaning their gun. It's like, that's BS. I mean, that's just a nice way of saying they killed themselves, because it's like, I have firearms. I don't have no revolvers, but anybody halfway responsible, you take out the magazine, you pull the slide back. If there's a round in there, it comes out once you pull that slide back. You put the pistol up to the light, you can see the light coming down the barrel, which means there's no round in the barrel. The magazine's out, you can see all the way through. I've shown you this. You know what I'm talking about. And a shotgun, same, unless it's a double barrel, but even then, you're not cleaning, the double barrel like that. You would break, open up the breach. So there's a straight line coming through, and put the ramrod down there with the cleaning the bore and cleaning it out, getting any kind of gunk out. You don't do it while it's closed. And same thing with a pump action. You make sure the breech is open so you can actually see making sure there's no God forbid there's like a bit of debris that's in there. This stuff doesn't happen by accident. It's like, oh, it's an accident. No, it wasn't. It's just a nicer way of saying, oh yeah, your father killed himself, except without saying your father killed himself. Oh, he was cleaning his gun and it was an accident. It's just a nice way of saying, it's like, that's why you see like law enforcement and military, end up, there's a lot of suicide that, because the stress, the human body and mind can only take so much. And, like you think, oh, well, they have all this power and everything, but it cuts both ways. Like, yeah, they might be like this, powerful, big old policeman. But then we got to think, I could pull over somebody and get shot in the face, and that stress in life would, it can eat you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't work it out externally, it can work its way internally. And
I think it's
brutal.
It's one of those fascinating aspects of humanity. I mean, I don't know of any animals that commit suicide. Knowingly commit suicide. There might be some unintentional, but yeah, I guess the fact it is suicide makes it a conscious act. We're the only animal that does that. In an article from Time I was reading, federal data shows that suicide rates have increased steadily across nearly every demographic over the past two decades, rising 28% from 1999 to 2016. Almost 45,000 Americans died by suicide in 2016, making it the 10th most common cause of death that year, according to the CDC. Increases have been so drastic that researchers have blamed suicide, along with substance abuse, for recent declines in overall US life expectancy. While suicide is most common among middle-aged and older adults, rates are on the rise in many age groups. Almost twice as many children were hospitalized for thinking about or attempting suicide in 2015 as in 2008. Young women appear to be disproportionately affected by the overall increase. The suicide rate amongst girls aged 10 to 19 rose by 70% from 2010 to 2016, from 423 deaths of girls to 687 deaths of girls, and it hit a 40-year high among female teens in 2015. The increase has been substantial enough to narrow the well-established gender gap between the number of boys and girls who die by suicide. So I guess one thing I'd love for you to throw your brain at, Larry, is why is this trend happening? Why now?
Well, you gotta think, this is America. America, we, for the longest time, we don't like to deal with our problems. We don't deal with our problems at home. We tackle things in the overseas and all this and that. And the same thing goes with emotional. And instead of dealing with certain emotional issues, maybe some kids are going to be a little different, a little high strung, maybe a little sad, a little blue. Instead of, you know, talking it over, being a lot of people, and I'm not saying a lot of people, you know, somebody gets emotional, the first thing to do is kind of like, I'm uncomfortable, and they either walk away, move away, they don't have nothing to do with it. Very rarely do you say, I'm, you know, like, and truly mean, like, you know, like shoulder to cry on kind of thing. And from my own experience growing up around kids that this happened to, where they happen to be a little down in the dumps, or maybe they're a little too overactive, the first thing to do, give them pills. We don't know what it'll do. Give this kid who's acting a little hyper, give them speed, you know, give them Ritalin, which is basically speed, or now it's Adderall. It's yeah. Speed, you know, but, and yeah. Hey, let's, this person's a little blue.
Excuse me. I just opened an article and it spawned a thing. Anyway, go on.
But yeah, it's like the same thing. Like these people that are a little blue, they give them pills to, like, you know, I'll make them happy or make them less sad, you know, or, oh, this person, guess what? The people that have anxiety, I know people that have, you know, these anxiety issues, and I would too. I could possibly have them too if I let, you know, some people, they self-diagnose, which is just a real bad idea, you know, but even then, it's like doctors, you know, these pharmacists, they got to make money. So it's like, would they be above prescribing stuff people don't need? Yes, they would do it. You know, they wouldn't be above it. But the issues are, people have just been, it seems, more and more in the past, like 20 years, being prescribed more and more pills, whether they need them or they don't. And then if you forget to take them, or if pill levels in your body, you know, the chemical levels in your brain start getting a little fluctuated, you know, like where, you know, you're not yourself, and then you end up taking your life for whatever reason, or trying to. And it's really unfortunate, but it's like, well, what do you do with these people? The pills may help some, but, you know, I think.
Yeah. Well, this is where I have a contention, a notion, which I don't think is going to be fashionable amongst many people, but I think in many cases it's not suicide. Do you know why?
Why?
Because the sickness, the disease, is killing the people. The depression, the self-doubt, the anxiety, it's all part of a disease on the individual and on society as a whole, in my opinion. I mean, I know that's shifting the blame from the individual, But you can't cure diseases with pills either.
Yeah. You can treat symptoms. Yeah. But yeah, there's no such exactly. thing. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like this isn't, when you get a cold or a flu, it's not going to disappear by taking pills. You can treat the symptoms exactly as you say, but it doesn't do anything for getting rid of what physically ails you at that time. No, that needs care, that needs nurturing, that needs supervision, that needs, in many cases, needs to be written out.
Yeah. And a lot of people, that's the thing, a lot of people don't want to write it out because they're too, you know, anyway, you know, it's the anxiousness, the anxiety of, you know, that, you know, being people don't want to be uncomfortable. They want the easy way out in some ways.
Sure.
And unfortunately, a lot of that happens to be suicide. Instead of writing out the uncomfortability and just kind of taking it one day at a time, it's like, yeah, they can't. I've done it too long, I've done it for whatever reason. And it's like, I can't. You know, I can't not wrap my head around that. And maybe if I could, it might make me susceptible to those minds. That's the thing that worries me. It's like if I were to truly, you know, sympathize and think like that, like, it would make me susceptible to that, you know, suicidal tendencies. Yeah. I would not, like, and that's something I wouldn't want ever to happen to me.
Well, anyone's susceptible. You know what contagious suicide or suicide contagion is, yeah?
Sounds familiar. I think I might have seen it in a movie once, but it was a Japanese film.
It's basically when a prominent suicide increases the prevalence of other suicides. Perfect example, Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to confirm that. Yeah, it was hanging. There was a 10% increase in hanging. Especially amongst middle-aged men, immediately after his suicide.
Jeez.
That's a perfect example of suicide contagion. I remember watching a documentary where, and this totally underwrites everything, this totally defies the notion of sitting there with a bottle of cheap booze, writing a letter to the world, you know, spinning the barrel of your revolver. The majority of successful suicides were people who in an instant decided to just go off a bridge or walk near a cliff and just jump or be at the train and then just as an instant, this is the thing that terrifies me because no one is immune to this, allegedly, you know, could just be there in front of the train and just get the notion, oh, I'm going to jump in front of it. And in fact, when they've saved people who were in that instant and who did succumb themselves to that idea, in almost every instance, they grab back. They try to fix themselves. It was just kind of like a thought experiment that the body accidentally commit to. That terrifies me.
That's scary. That's really scary because you got to think it's like, you know, other things you might want to say to someone, like, you know, in the heat of, you know, like, you're angry, you want to say it to them, you just don't. But, you know, with you're fighting that portion, maybe there's another side of you that's, you know, hey, let me just drive into this abutment, you know, like exactly. That kind of thing. And that's, you know, it's like too late. It's like there's some people that,
I challenge people to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there have been more successful suicides from that than from orchestrating the whole thing. If anything, the implication is it's more of a cry for help when it's an organized suicide as opposed to the spontaneous type. But go on. Sorry, I interrupted you.
I didn't watch the film because, first off, it's like stuff that's like depressing. Like intentionally depressed. Like, that's why the Europeans weird the hell out of me. It's like they're like, oh, I watch this really depressing film. Like, okay, I take it back. I like Alien 3, even though that's really depressing. But it's like it's a good movie. I like it. But but a lot of these like movies, like the down endings and all that. But the you know, there was a movie called The Bridge. It's about the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, people not killing themselves. Like, there was the camera that would capture people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And when you're from that height, it's like hitting concrete. But there were people that survived. But those survivors apparently were – they, you know, like – when they jumped, like, you know, like they're, you know, extremely depressed, and, you know, clearly suicidal, and they jumped. But as soon as they jumped, then like the chemicals in their brain or something kicked in. It's like, yeah, this is a real bad idea. That I regret doing this, but like, you know,
exactly
how many people like that. And it's, you know, regret's a hell of a thing. It's like, you're just like, oh, live life without regrets, but truly, you know, you could say that, and it's like a lot of that's, you're trying to be mind over matter, but at the end of the day, the matter will win when you're committing to an act like that. And it's these, you know, those that, you know, shoot themselves in the head, and, you know, they're, you know, like anybody that's ever done even the slightest bit of research, you know, the human brain to the area in the temples, the area with the top part of that's mainly memory and personality. And the most people, when they shoot themselves in the head, they're not shooting the part of the brain that will, you know, take them out. They're just, you know, because one upside about war is medical technology advances. Enough soldiers get shot in the head or take wounds to the head to figure out how to save someone's life, even though, like, 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, it would have been they were dead to rights. There would have been no way of saving it. But now,
you got me thinking of Kingsman 2.
Oh, yeah. That's better than what I was thinking of. I was thinking of Arseface from Preacher, the comic, not the show. But, that right there, that's how, like, really, you know, dark humor take on teenage suicide. If I'm not mistaken, Arseface is trying to be like Kurt Cobain. He was suicidal. Exactly.
It was a Kurt Cobain copycat. Yeah.
And it didn't work out. And that's the kind of stuff that it's, you know, and when you see this stuff in media, it's, you know, sometimes they glamorize it. Sometimes it's not. It's like and it's weird. It's just, it's, you know, because that's fiction, not reality. But, you know, it's...
I think for some people who feel that their lives are lacking of meaning or importance, it gives them, much like I said, it gives them control. It gives them also some kind of spectacle to their life. Something they think is of interest there that people can look back and say.
No, it's just... In some ways, it's selfish. Especially if you have families, you have a kid, you have a wife, it's selfish. But when you're not, it's not all right up in the, you know, chemically wise or whatever. You know, you're not thinking like, oh yeah, you're being selfish. Yeah, that might wake them up for a little bit, but it's not going to cure anything. It's going to alleviate maybe a symptom. But
I've got a dangerous question for you.
All right.
Has suicide ever been merited? Can you think of any time humanity has benefited from suicide?
Well, Hitler in the bunker, but he should have done that a long time before.
Really? How much of World War II would have been demystified if he was incarcerated and interrogated?
You know what? That's a good question. It's like if they'd have captured him alive, like, but, you know, they'd have to got there before the Russians. They would have had to, you know, get there before, you know, Stalin's troops. That right there, like, you have him on trial and then have him, you know, like, executed, you know, in front of the world, like they kind of did, you know, like they would have showed that. They would have newsreel footage.
That's it.
Of today, Hitler was executed, you know, in Nuremberg, you know, that kind of thing. And like maybe, you know, they probably would have firing squad.
Just think about how much closure. Just think of certain cultural and ethnic groups who maybe would have less claim to lack of closure or less claim to lost heritage and retribution.
Good. That's a good question. That's actually a good statement right there. I don't have any specific names, but any child molester that kills himself, whether they before they act or I have zero sympathy for that. I think that might be a benefit to the world, you know, preventing.
Okay, I see what you're saying, and I do agree. Anyone who recognizes themselves as evil and maybe removes themselves from the equation before that
doesn't negate the evil that they are, but it's like maybe societal-wise.
Well,
that's yeah. Course correction. It's like if a, you know, if an orc decides not to go to the Shire and destroy it, does that make the orc good? No, it just makes the orc orc that doesn't do evil. They're still evil, but you know that kind of thing. I'm not a Lord of the Rings fan, but that's like the first thing popping in my head. I can't help myself.
You're thinking around my shifty little way of imposing logic, and that's that. In no way, no how, is suicide the best option?
No, it's, you know, if I've seen what, you know, certain diseases have done to people, stuff that can't be cured. And knowing what I know now, I do know that life management, put it that way, choosing the way to go, it's a tough thing to talk about because a lot of people get very uncomfortable around death. Hell, I don't like going to hospitals because of the suffering and the smell and the sound. Same thing with nursing homes. And my late grandfather, they had a little birthday get together, but he was so up there in age, they had to put his birthday cake in milk so he could drink his birthday cake. He could still chew, but they were scared that he might choke. So it's like, hey, you made it to 100 years old, but you can't even eat your cake. And he had a little bit of lucidity because he had dementia, being that old. His hands were, you know, so much arthritis and everything, and also the damage. His hands are broken by his mother when he was a young child. But even when people talk, and even over the family and stuff talking, and the friends of, you know, the family, I could still hear like that in the back, because my hearing sometimes I have to tune my hearing to focus on one or two things. It's like I feel like Daredevil or Superman or something sometimes, because it's like I don't and the smell too, because they were changing sheets and stuff, and the smell I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here, because it was a nursing home / rehabilitation center, and it was the activity room that they had, you know, for the little party, and it was that stuff like that. So it's like I understand there are certain people like, you know, it's not about longevity, it's about quality, and I totally get that. I really get that from, you know, I didn't get it when I was younger. I'm in my early 30s. I get it now. It's like, you know, time is ticking by. It's like, you know, do you want quality? Do you want longevity? But a tough subject. But I'm glad we talked about it.
It is. I guess we didn't even talk about the suffering of those left behind. But that's a gimme. No one needs to hear that. No one left behind needs that to be heard, and no one suffering through these thoughts need that extra stress. I just maybe wanted to put out there that maybe suicide isn't as painless as the song suggests. But a killer song.
So what does he know? Yeah, but the man is a kid wrote it. So what does he know? You know, he didn't even live yet. He's barely out, to be blunt, he's barely out of his dad's scrotum. So what does he know about life? You know, it's that's kind of profound in some way. I don't know, but tough subject, but tougher reality. You know.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll talk about it, and it hasn't come apropos of anything, I want you guys to understand there haven't been any listeners that have reached out to us with anything like this they wanted to talk about. There hasn't been anything that Larry or I have been talking about off the screen. It quite literally was a flash in my head earlier today of hey, there seems to be more death, and much of it seems to be self-inflicted. What's the deal with that? Let's discuss with Larry. Because not every show can be about comic books and video games.
Yeah, we're not limited to that. No. So.
No. All right. Well, we'd love to know your thoughts about it. And again, I reiterate, if you are experiencing any kind of thoughts,
seek some professional help.
Yeah, about
do not hesitate.
Yeah, anything about your own health or the health of others. It might be something that you're planning to do to others, or something that you heard others are planning to do to themselves or others. Seek help. And there's a number of reputable places you can turn to. The Beyond Blue Foundation is very prominent here in Australia. I don't know if there's an equivalent out there in the States.
My knowledge of that is, I mean, Google is your friend, you know, as far as that kind of stuff goes. They'll send you to a bunch of people. Well, yeah. There should be a bunch.
I'm pretty sure you've got International Suicide Prevention Line and Crisis Hotline. Here we've also got Lifeline Australia. So we'll leave it there, and we'll talk to you same time next week. Definitely something a little bit more cheery, maybe a bit more musical, and we'll take it from there. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
Frequency. Copyright 2018 by White Tiger Graphics.